Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
What's up, everybody?
Hi.
Hope y'all are having a great Friday.
God Encounters. I'm going to go ahead and tag a couple of people right now, including my wonderful husband. Hope you all are doing well. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Welcome to God Encounters. Thank you all for tuning in. You want to welcome everybody into the show right now, Dustin,
yeah.
As they are coming their way in right
yeah.
now. Thank you so much.
Yeah, hope you guys are all having a great Friday, and hopefully we'll be able to start a good weekend here.
We are so excited to be on God Encounters today, and thank you to Rick Cope, who invited us in today. My name is Dawn Miller, and this is my husband, Dustin Miller. And if everybody doesn't mind giving him a shout-out, this is his first time going Facebook Live.
Getting out of my comfort zone.
Getting out of comfort zones and just being faithful in what
Amen.
God has provided us.
Amen.
And, you know, even in the midst of what our flesh is telling us, we are going to step out of our comfort zone, as my husband is doing today, and we are going to share the glory of God amidst any circumstance that we are going through right now. So thank you all so much for tuning in. This is a special edition of God Encounters, and thank you Rick Pope, Pastor Rick Pope, and Leslie Pope for having us in tonight. Dustin and myself, a little bit of the background about us. We have been together, married, since August the 3rd of this year. And we have been dating since May, but by the glory of God and in His orchestration, we've actually known each other for 5 years, and we were tried to be introduced to at a time years ago by his aunt.
It didn't go over too well.
So it's kind of a crazy story where we are today, and a lot of our story aligns with which, you know, we find the similarities in what our husband or our significant other or those that we're friends with have been involved in. And coincidentally, both Dustin and I were in a period of our life where we were both in addiction. And 5 years ago that we were introduced, we were both in our addiction. Dustin was opiate,
mm-hmm.
and I was alcohol and the party girl. And it just blows my mind how, you know, surrendering our lives to Christ, God has truly provided everything that we could ask for in terms of fruit of the Spirit. So today, we're going to be talking about walking in faith. And it's so easy to talk the talk about believing in God and all the wonders of God. But it's another to actually walk full-heartedly in that, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. And there's so much in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous that we teach of one day at a time, but actually a lot of that is in the Bible, and that's where Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous get a lot of their principles from. But before we walk into, diving in about faith, we're going to get started with, introducing at this time of the year, there are so many people that are out on the streets that are homeless. There are so many people that don't have a house to go home. They're on the streets. They're cold. And we're all in a situation where we're blessed. We have a roof over our head. We have food to eat. And we know where our next meal is going to come from. And as you're making your way into Thanksgiving and spending time with your family and spending time with your friends and giving thanks for all of your blessings in your life, please consider the Cold Weather Blessing Bags Project. That is hosted from Rick Pope and Leslie Pope of Love and Freedom Outreach. And what they're going to be doing is coming up with 50 bags, 50 blessing bags, and going around to give these bags out to the homeless with all the necessities that they need. It's going to be blankets. It's going to be socks, gloves, hand warmers, several hygiene items, and really gospel booklets. And the hope is it's the little things in life that make the difference. And truly, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And I know my husband, I know you can attest to stuff, and that you wouldn't be where you are today if it wasn't for, one, putting your faith into the hands of God, and then for two, the kindness of others to help disciple you.
Yes, I had, you know, I had the opportunity to completely remove myself from the situation I was in. You know,
And what situation, like, let's take a step back.
Sure.
Before we go into your situation.
Sure.
This cause is $15 each for the bag. Donate if you are interested in blessing 50 individuals with $15 a bag. Please send checks out to Zelle or PayPal, and that is Rick's email is cashcope3@gmail.com. But I know Dustin, you're really excited to get into it, so we're gonna go back into the origin of when we met each other, and obviously we didn't connect 5 years ago. We met once. You were hungover, and you were withdrawing, and I was hungover. So it was the most crazy encounter 5 years ago, and such an awkward introduction to each other, like crazy.
Yeah.
But walk us through like your life and where were you living 5 years ago?
So I actually was born and raised in central Pennsylvania, and you know, I had a great childhood. You know, my parents were always there for me. I always had, you know, friends growing up. Really, when I went downhill was not too long after I turned 21. So, you know, I turned 21, so I was obviously excited to go out and party and, you know, hang out at the bars with my friends and all that good stuff. And after doing that for so long, it kind of got to the point to where it, you know, it got old and I wasn't really having fun. So, you know, eventually I got introduced to opiates from an old friend of mine, and you know, I didn't think that, you know, I would get addicted to it or anything like that. And I forget what the first one, like, it was like a Vicodin or something along the lines of that. And you know, I took one and was like, yeah, this is pretty cool, whatever. And like a week after that, my buddy gave me some more, and I forget, I think they were oxycodone or something like that, and I was hooked like that. And I knew it pretty quick, you know, after doing it for like a week straight. I, you know, after not doing them for like 6 hours or something like that, I would start to withdraw, and I was like, you know, I'm hooked. Like, I don't know how to get out of this, and it was scary. So as far as time frames, the past, you know, half of my 20s is a pretty big blur just because of being addicted to opiates. You don't really think clearly. So, yeah, I spent about maybe 3 years pretty heavily addicted to opiates. And then I got to a point to where, you know, I knew I needed help. So I, you know, talked to my parents about it, and they were very supportive. And I actually went to Team Challenge for – I was only there for like 4 days, maybe. And
well, what brought you to the point that you wanted help? Is that like your surrender at that time, or like why did you, like, what were you going through mentally?
Just, I mean, hell, pretty much. I mean, Satan was really knocking at my door, and really, you know, I was suicidal. You know, I didn't want anything to do. I didn't want to be here. You know, and I talked to my parents, and the church that they used to go to back in Pennsylvania, I'm pretty sure my dad met with the pastor there, and he had recommended that I go to Teen Challenge. So we got some information on that, and I got enrolled, and I went. And I was there for about, like I said, like 3 or 4 days. And
Teen Challenge, it's a rehabilitation.
Yeah, it's
right.
Like it's a faith-based drug rehab program. So
you went to rehab.
Yeah, I went there, and I didn't last long. I got there, and I don't know, something inside of me told me that I didn't need to go to a program. I didn't need somebody to tell me that I can't be doing drugs. So, you know, I remember standing beside my bunk one day, and I was praying to God, and I was like, God, you know, I will do anything to get out of here. I just pray that you make a way. And about maybe 2 days later, this is kind of the situation in a nutshell, but I ended up on a bus back to Pennsylvania because I went to Teen Challenge in Syracuse, New York.
So you had the opportunity at that time to get out of Pennsylvania,
right.
Leave people, places, and things,
right.
Go to Teen Challenge, thought that you had it, prayed to God to get you out of it,
right.
And now you're going back to Pennsylvania,
right.
Back into the same environment.
Well, not really. So what happened was the deal for me to leave the rehab program was I was going to go to Nome, Alaska, and that is a testimony within itself. So the church that my parents went to back home, my dad was in charge of putting together a missions trip, and you know, going to a church in Nome, Alaska, to put a new roof and new siding on this building. And the deal was that if I leave, I have to go to Nome and help with this project, and you know, just to kind of reboot my mind. And I went. And
how did you think about going to Alaska though?
I was all for it. I was pumped.
Can you imagine going to Alaska? I mean, if somebody said, "Hey, Don, you can go get your life together and now just move to Alaska," I would be like, cold, but you were excited.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
it was an awesome opportunity.
Got to know some great people. But yeah, I went up there and helped out with the project, and I spent about 2 months there, and I came to a place to where I thought I was ready to come back home and, you know, restart, and I thought that I was going to have my head on straight. And I did for about 6 to 8 months, maybe. I got a job, got a car, actually had my own apartment, and...
What did you have your head in at that point? Were you, like, in the Word every day,
So back up a little bit. When I went to Alaska, I rededicated my life to Christ, and I truly meant it. I really did. And when I came back to Pennsylvania, I slowly started to get out of it. You know, just life kind of took over, and I
life together.
Yeah,
seeming morally together.
Right. Yeah.
So are
my
you
flesh.
Telling me that you could? You can come to a point in your life, and I don't know if any of you have been there, because I've been too, which our story kind of goes hand in hand. So Dustin tried rehab once. I tried rehab once and came to a point where I thought I had it right with God. I did, especially in rehab. And get out of it, and isn't it so quick how fast you all go back to the same patterns and same cycles? And you think you have it. You think you have it. But the minute that you take your sight off of God, and the minute that you start submitting yourself to worldly ways, it is crazy how Satan will come in and take the moment. So walk us into your relapse.
Yeah, so like I said, I think I had about 6 or 8 months clean and sober. And I had heard that my buddy that used to get me these pain pills was back in town, and you know, I was just bored the one day, and something inside of me told me, hey, reach out to him, and you know, you're bored, you know, you can handle one or two, you know, lies from the enemy. But and I did. I reached out to my buddy and met up with him, and you know, hooked again, just like that. And
what was your breaking point? How long was this? So once you took that pill, how long were you in your cycle of relapse for?
Again, that stage of my life was a pretty big blur. But I'd say about 3 months, maybe 3-4 months. And I one night, it was a Friday night. I had just gotten off work, and I had gone over to my buddy's because I was gonna, you know, get my fix. And
what were you thinking in that moment? Like, did you think sobriety wise that you could just have one with your length of time and be okay? Or, like,
before I initially relapsed, I did think that I could get away with just doing it once or twice and getting back out of it, being mentally strong enough to get back out of it, but that clearly wasn't the case.
Yeah. So I don't know if any of you are in sobriety or such a sobriety, and you're like, I have a couple of years under my belt. I'm approaching my 1 year, and I'm not gonna lie, there's a time or two that comes by where, you know, we're out to dinner, or and you know, somebody orders a glass of wine, and I'm like, no, have everything together. So maybe just one. Yeah, and I repent,
yeah,
and
I tell you,
thank God I have you.
Right.
But it's crazy how we think we have it all together.
Yeah.
So you took that pill,
yeah,
and then you got into the cycle of relapse.
Yep.
And then tell us the breaking point.
I overdosed. So I one night, it was a Friday night. I don't really remember anything about the night. I just remember going over to my buddy's house and getting these drugs and doing them. And all I remember is a really hard impact. So apparently I got in my car and I was gonna go back to my apartment so I could go to sleep. And all I remember is this really, really strong impact. And I remember waking up and I put my hand on the top of my head and it was covered in blood. And my buddy was behind me. I have no idea where he was going. This was at like 2 a.m. And he comes running up and like pulls me out of the car and he rushes me to Holy Spirit Hospital in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. And I woke up, I think, I'd say 5 or 6 hours later, I kind of woke up. And, I didn't really fully realize what had happened. I remember my mom and dad came and picked me up at the hospital, and then they took me back home and to my apartment, and it took about a day and a half to fully wake up and, you know, realize what had happened. And at that point in time, when I was, you know, awake and functioning, I knew, I was like, if I don't get out of this town, if I don't leave, I'm going to keep going down this road. So I will step back a little bit. So the connections I had in Nome, Alaska, Pastor Austin Jones and his wife and his whole family, I built a pretty good relationship with them. And, I mean, they're amazing people. They really, really helped me out. Very thankful for them. But I reached out to Austin and I explained what had happened, and I told him, I was like, man, if I don't get out of here, I'm gonna be dead pretty much.
And Austin, what is his role? Like, what is he? Is he a friend? Like, what does he do for work?
I mean, he's a friend. He's a
pastor.
Yeah, he's a pastor. He pastors.
Disciple.
Yeah, he pastors River of Life Church in Nome, Alaska, and he also does outreach to the surrounding villages of Nome. But yeah, amazing guy. But yeah, I reached out to him and explained the situation, and he was like, yeah, let me pray about it and talk to his wife about it. And a few days later, the door opened up, and I think about maybe a month later, I was on a plane heading to Nome with everything that I own, which was pretty much one or two suitcases full of clothes.
What year was that?
2016.
Yeah.
September of 2016, I used to know.
That's incredible. And you've been here ever since?
Yeah, I got a little over 3.5 years. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Not for me.
Absolutely. God. So we take a step back and we look at the lives that we were living. And it's really important in the process of when you're walking in faith and walking through this new relationship with God, that sometimes we have to take a step back and we have to look at the cycles that we repeated and the cycle situations that we were in. And a lot of your experience, I know my husband, we talk a lot, and we found a lot of similarities together that just blew both of our minds. Because here, let me take a step back. So 5 years ago, like we said, we were introduced from his aunt. And we got connected on Facebook. And throughout all of my years in my chaos, I'm the public one and the talk one. And then he's like, low-key, he saw my whole life story unravel on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard all about his story along the years. And to think that God would, you know, it was prophesied over us that we would be married by his hand, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And we both were just really weirded out by it. But when you committed your life to Christ and to God, and were being discipled by somebody, that was when truly what your life began to unfold in the glory that God has for your life, the provision that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And so the topic of today truly is about walking in faith. And I don't think that you would have known of you going to Alaska years ago would bring you here to Texas.
Absolutely.
Or taking that leap again, this is your second time now going to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody knows what addiction is like and what relapse is like, you can imagine the amount of guilt and shame that comes with when you mess up. So here you were in a situation where you relapsed right when you got back from Alaska. Now here, you're coming back to Alaska.
Right.
And if you can put yourself in a situation, and if you've ever been in a situation that you feel like you can't do it again, there's people looking at you, and you just feel this weight on your shoulder, like you're going to mess up, that's completely the enemy. And it's truly walking in faith when you take yourself out of the people, places, and things, and surrender your life and put your flesh at the cross and say, God, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I'm putting my trust in you. And if I can get through today or even for an hour, gosh, if anybody has been in addiction, you know the what they say in Alcoholics Anonymous and in Narcotics Anonymous is it's just for the day, just for the hour, it's just for the minute. And all those minutes add up of walking in faith.
Yeah.
And where you are today, when Dustin and I were talking, you know, and I encourage you to do this if you are married, of getting to know and understanding your spouse, as well as your friendship, and getting to know each other as to why did it happen? I mean, of course, because, you know, we don't look at our past, like, you know, you don't fret about the past, but what can you learn by it? And what I learned personally from my husband is he's shy. He's a little bit shy, right? So more on the introverted style, and for him to mask a lot of his feelings and a lot of his insecurities, he would cope with it through pills. And I don't know how many of you that are in addiction that we use substance because we are coping with something, whether that be through childhood trauma, whether that be through a situation that we've experienced. It could be genetics. Like, for me, I had a lot of genetics in my background that have addiction all over it. But you know what? With God and walking in faith, we take up the cross every day, and we are the generation that is breaking generational cycles.
Amen.
So to where we are today in faith of our personal story. So I know I had gone on God Encounters a little bit ago, and my story at the time was exemplifying to you that I was living in Pennsylvania. So Dustin and I were both living in Pennsylvania. I was heavily addicted to alcohol and relationships and narcissistic ways and money because it was my security blanket. So I've had, been diagnosed with generalized panic disorder. I would never dream myself of going on Facebook Live, nor would my husband in the predicament that we were in. But we were I was coping and self-medicating the best I could to take care of myself with the resources that I had, and it was one day, it was last year, that I got a phone call from his aunt. How weird is this? It was like turning in circles of when you submit yourself to God and you ask him to, you know, ask him to guide your life, to direct your life, that it's his will and not the will of your own. It's so funny that every coincidence is no longer it's not a coincidence. It's a special encounter that we are all connected and we are all orchestrated into God's plan. So last year I had sold all of my belongings. Similar to what you did, you went with one suitcase, I went with two suitcases, and moved to Texas, which to me, Texas is a lot less scary than Alaska, so, you know, I give you, like, the amount of credit that I give my husband for white two guys, and that's one thing, too, to always encourage the spouse, regardless of the situation of life or walk of fruit, if you can't see the fruit, you always encourage your spouse. That's something that you and I are going to be going into about our employment issues. We can either bicker with each other or we can agree with each other and we can encourage each other and lift each other up. And the nice thing about my husband and I, we have a relationship that we literally, we just back to back, like, I have a bad moment, he lifts me up. He has a bad moment, I think I lift you up. So, I didn't really go off on these tangents, but I'm like, I don't even know what I was talking about. But, so anyways, oh, yeah, you moved to Alaska, I moved to Texas. So we both were in the same situation, how weird is this, that I was offered discipleship when I would get out of rehab. And I didn't know what discipleship was, and I didn't know what it would be like. And if you can only imagine, as the person that is to get discipled by, of, oh my gosh, I don't want anybody to see my baggage. And I was thinking at the time before I moved to Texas that all of my skeletons would be exposed in my closet. But you know what? The one person that sees all of your mess and all of the closets that your eye didn't look at. So always keep that in mind. And that's one thing of walking in faith as well, is everything that you do, you're doing to glorify the good of God. And he can see all of your private places. But anyways, I was scared. I think you were scared to move to Alaska. Of course,
sure,
you were.
Absolutely.
And in Alaska is a state that there's layoffs constantly because of the changing seasons. And you were on the boat and working in the barge and what the Arctic shows and gold whatever. What is the show called?
I wasn't on the show,
but you were hosting.
It was a gold mine.
The gold mine shows, yeah. Or whatever. But as the one that's being discipled to, we come into a situation where truly when we are surrendering our life at the cross, and at least this was the situation that I was in, I didn't know what tomorrow would bring. And there is so much as walking in faith, but there's also the importance of putting your sight onto what flashes in front of you that has at least two steps further in faith. And that's called true discipleship. And that's also walking in faith. And then the one that's discipling you will truly help walk you through what those next steps are. So when you think about, like, in the book of Jesus, we go back to all the disciples in the Bible, and all of them were disciples that Jesus called out. So in your life right now, if you're like, I don't know what I could do to be a better person, first of all, commit your life to Christ and ask for his will and not the will of your own, even if you don't understand it fully. And then,
there's a lot I don't understand, trust me.
And then praying about it. And who was it typically that you look up to in faith? And who are the next steps in faith that you could ask questions about? And if we are truly living in a Christian-like world, Christian, I hate religion, but I love Christ, and I love my relationship with Christ. So it helped me get my relationship with Christ was his homies that were already friends with him that could tell me a lot more about him than me asking all the questions myself and trying to figure it out for myself. So when I think about Jesus, I think of him as my homeboy. I think of him as my best friend that I could talk to in the car. So if you're thinking of, like, God sitting on a throne, absolutely, but I think of him as my best friend next to me in the car, somebody that I want to talk to. And that's kind of over time of, like, growing in faith with him, because walking in faith, it is truly not an easy thing to do. And yet Scripture tells us, when you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. So take a step back to us both moving. You moved to Alaska, I moved to Texas. Well, no, you were already in. You were back. So I moved to Texas last year, and he's coincidentally moving to Texas as well. Like, had no idea about this. Like, my life was focused on going into rehab. Yours was focused on being close to your family, because that season of his life was over.
Right.
And he went through the discipleship, which, if you are truly a Christian and you're bored, you're not doing the right thing. And I say that because there's so much that you can do every day to live according to the will of God, and that doesn't take money. It takes kindness, and it takes time. Those are the two biggest gifts that I really think that you can give to somebody, and wisdom and discipleship. But, so we, here, we both submitted our lives to God. The moment that I submitted my life to God, moved to Texas, it was January 1st that I said, God, it's your will, and it's not the will of my own. It was January 2nd that I was admitted into rehab, even though I was told that it was going to be about a month for me to get into rehab. Well, it was the day that I was baptized, months later, that I had the blessing of really being properly introduced to Dustin. So it blows my mind, our timeline of how God, when we surrendered our lives to God, it took me out. He's had 3+ years with God. I've had a year. And the moment that I said, God, it's your will, and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but the way that I'm living my life isn't working, was the minute, he already was 1,000 steps ahead of me, and I couldn't see. And that's really where faith comes in, is that we don't know what is coming, but any deep water that you go into, God is with you, and that is the promise in the scripture, that he is always with you. But that also means that you must always be with him. And I think that's where a lot of us get confused, as, okay, well, now I'm saved, but my life isn't changing. Well, yeah, it's great that you're being saved, but God wants it so much on earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven, like, I think of rejoicing with God. I think of kindness. I think of the gift of the Spirit. And if I'm walking in my life, you're walking in your life today, and you're not being kind to somebody, and you're not teaching it, and you're not joyous, then maybe that day you're not walking with the fruit of the Spirit. Well, how do we expect God to show up if we're not going to show up for him? So fast forward to us, meeting, and he was doing that. Tell about how we met. Like, let's go back. All right, so.
Our first date was at McDonald's
getting coffee. Yeah. So, fast forward to where we both met. He hit me up on the Snapchat, guys. Like, not even kidding. So
I didn't have your phone number.
Yeah, whatever. You had my, at least, sort of Facebook me. But
I think I did. I think it was Facebook then Snapchat.
You didn't. We were already connected on Facebook. So, fast forward back to when we met. And this was what? Back in April. April. And then it was May. He hit me up on the Snapchat, and we had to talk. Mind you, when I sold all my stuff last year, I thought I was giving up my idea of ever being married. And that was always one of the deepest desires of my heart, was always to be married and in an intimate relationship with a man that lives in honest way, old school, because I have an old school heart. I believe in old school principles. And in today's society, as a millennial, it's kind of hard to, it's really hard for us, honestly, any generation, because you have social media at your fingertips. And if you're a woman like me, it was so hard for me to compare myself to others. And then here my story was exposed on Facebook. So I was so embarrassed last year when I was moving here. Like, I was, like, suicidal. Like, not even kidding. Like, I told you, like, I had the AR-15 the night that I surrendered my life to Christ. And to think that I would be meeting my husband on the day that I was baptized. And then, what, you hit me up on Snapchat, and we just started conversing. And then, what? Like, you asked me out on a date. What did we talk about? Like,
I don't even know.
Time?
I was so nervous. I have no idea.
I'm not even nervous. But he always prayed for it, too.
Yeah.
He always prayed for it, too. And that's really where God showed up. But he also, Dustin, stepped out of his comfort zone as well and was the one that reached out to me.
Yeah.
And that wasn't so typical of you. Like, so, I love you. Like, And then to where we are today, and this is also welcoming in phase, so Dustin and I have been married, like I said, since August, and we have been introduced in April, and then started the date in May. So
you blew me off.
I didn't blow you off. I asked if you're fishing, and you're like, "Nah, I can't do that. Too good for you. I gotta ride my motorcycle." That's what you did. Oh, I'm just kidding. But if you can imagine, about being a new Christian and being introduced to Dustin, and I saw how that was built from. I mean, look at the guy. He's like, he's so humble. He's so honest. He's so open, and he is so like everything in the Bible. Of lifting me up, and I'm like, how did I end up meeting this man? Honestly, I mean, he lets me talk all the time. You can tell we're like very opposite. But when you're walking in faith and you're walking with the Lord, can you imagine, like, oh my gosh, these people have been dating for what, like a month, and now they're what, engaged, they're getting married, the two of them, and you guys know each other, what is it like? And we put all of our hope and our faith in God.
100%.
And I think that was a huge for our story when it comes to faith, it's having a relationship with God first. And if you're having any marital issues right now, or you're having any relationship issues right now, I just suggest to do what I did, because I have messed up so many times.
Me too.
And figure out where your priorities are, because the best relationship is equally yoked. And that, you know, it's got to be God in the center of everything, because God is all the fruit of the Spirit. And He takes away every single day a little piece of the world of who we're living for. So, you know, it was great. And by the grace of God, we've been married. We've been happily married. We've been together since May. And despite one small argument, which was in the truck.
Probably something ridiculous.
We first met. And I, you know how the girls go through, you know, certain times. Let's just say that. He went in and got a piece of pizza. And we had one little small argument. We got a piece of pizza or coffee or whatever, and you didn't get me one. And I'm like, wait, you weren't thinking about me, and it's my time. And I'm like, wait, what am I arguing about? But beside that, for us putting our faith in God, like, and truly saying God's big, and feeling from God that this was my spouse, and knowing that this was my spouse, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, God will always confirm. He will always, always confirm, and that's truly walking in faith. So, fast forward to where we are now, my pumpkin, is why we have the whole thing about faith. Because, do you ever notice, like, you know, becoming a Christian, I don't know if any of you, like, watch TBN, you watch sermons, and if you're in a situation like me, you're new at this relationship with God. And what do? I mean, you watch sermons all the time. And I read books all the time. And we're so spoon-fed about reaping and sowing, right? Like, can you give us a like or a heart if you heard the term reaping and sowing? Like, if you read, you sow. You read, you sow. Well, what about the in-between? Because in Scripture, it was talking about, you know, farmers. And both of us are picked. Like, to a fault, like bread, like we're not going to label ourselves, but we both are country folks. We're both from the country. We both like fishing. We both like shooting. You like four wheeling. Like, what do you like to do in your free time?
Anything in the outdoors.
Anything in the outdoors. Yeah. So when it comes to that, I think about the farmer. And I was reading this book, and this is something that we don't talk about in faith that much. Is about the difference of the seasons. And there's so much that I've heard about the prosperity gospel and, you know, like, keep tithing and all this. And yes, tithing is absolutely a necessity, as is walking in faith. But what about the seasons where it's hard? And right now, for Dustin and I, we're both living in a season that's hard right now. I don't know if you want to explain a little bit about that, but I've just been talking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go into too much detail about it, but I'm basically in a, well, we're both kind of in a season where, you know, our careers weren't really aligning with, you know, what we're made, you know, put here for. So, yeah, I'm basically, you know, I was out of my calling, pretty much.
Is what he was told at his employer.
I mean, it's all positive.
It's all positive. No, 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 it's all positive. That was the day after I was laid off. Bum, ba, dum, bum, bum. Have you ever been laid off before? It is not fun. It is not fun. Like, it's super scary. And I went right back to Worldly Ways really quick, like, faster than lightning. And I was scared. And he was scared.
Yeah.
And the day that I was laid off, where I was, you know, laid off the day before he was told that that's not his calling, I was calling Dustin a bunch, and I was talking to him about, like, how nervous I was and how, you know, how scared I was. And I was even bulimic. I relapsed on bulimia. So if you think, like, a Christian's living a perfect world, we are not perfect. And I will express all of my wrongdoings right up front as soon as they happen, because, you know what, I'm not perfect. The only perfect person is God. But I made the situation so much worse. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're walking and something bad happens to you, and you go back to bad habits, and then all of a sudden comes guilt and comes shame, and you made things so much worse. That's how a lot of relapse happens. And that was a relapse, bulimia, because I had been bulimic since I was 12. So it was a huge relapse, because I was months sober of bulimia. And I felt like the world was, like, just taken underneath me. The rug was just, like, taken underneath me. And I called Dustin, and he felt so bad for me. And he felt at that time that he needed to fix the situation. So here I am, the wife. And I'm calling my cousin, I'm complaining, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, there's not going to be a tomorrow, you know, dramatic dawn, like, what, you know, can you help me? I don't know how we're going to pay for the bills, I don't know what to do, I don't want to call unemployment, and that's reality. And here I'm presenting all of my situations to Dustin. Here the next day, I already had a plan, a plane booked for Pennsylvania,
and I
took that trip. Here I left him, and he was told that he needs to stay further in place, to seek other employment.
In a very positive way.
But you didn't take it so positively in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I was just freaked out.
Yeah, but he didn't have me to call as his wife. And why didn't he have me to call? Because I completely crumbled. I actually didn't know until 2 days ago that that happened. And
I was just trying to guard her feelings.
Yeah, nothing bad. But when I take a step back, that's what I did as a wife. And I completely crashed the moment that something happened. Instead of getting off the boat and walking, I jumped off the boat and I sank briefly. Thank God, because I had people in the boat that were disciples to pull me back up, and that's again where we bring back the discipleship. So in the Bible, it talks about, you know, Jesus was walking on water, and Peter was like, I want to walk on water too. Like, trust me. And he walked on water. I can't even imagine that. But there's a lot of people out there that are in a situation that if something goes wrong, such as an employment or whatever, their identity is set in, which I'm not going to lie, my identity was a bit going into church training, more so than it was into my relationship with the Lord, because it was the church. So, I look back at that situation and look at how much work I made it, and it's not that I have guilt or shame, but it's a reflection of, if you're presented a situation that you don't know what tomorrow will bring, give thanks in those difficult situations, because that also goes again with you reap what you sow, but also in everything, give thanks to the Lord, and lean not on your own understanding, because God will do nothing, but his hands are to prosper you, much harm you, and it's the hardest thing to grasp in a society that we are today. And we are in an instant gratification society. So, anyway, candy popping. I want you to read a little bit of this lesson, if you don't mind. So, going back in to seasons of, like, so right now, Dustin and I are in a season of, we don't know what today's going to bring, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But in everything that we're going to do, we're going to give thanks to the Lord. And we gave thanks to Rick Pope and Leslie Pope for inviting us on the show, which we're entirely not prepared for. And we said yes, and we showed up. We showed up, we said yes. It's something that, you know, is serving God, and it's something that we can do. And we don't know what's going to come from anything, but we agreed to it. And that's where the farmer story comes in. If you think about a farmer, and this is, like, let's even think about, like, thousands of years ago before they had all, like, the crazy tools. And let's just, you know, when I picture a farmer, I picture little me when I was in my overalls as a little girl. And I'm a little girl, and I'm going, and I'm putting in the seeds. We can even say we're trying to garden. And you're putting in the seeds. The next day, the flower doesn't come. The carrot doesn't sprout. It doesn't happen overnight. And I was reading the other day, and this is what I came to about all of the seasons and about the full harvest and giving thanks in all circumstances, if you don't mind starting from here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go into after long season.
Sure. So it says, think about all the things that must happen before there can be good harvest of crops. First, someone has to go and prepare the land. This is backbreaking work that involves felling trees, pulling massive stumps out of the ground, extracting rocks and boulders from the field, and moving them aside. But there's no harvest yet. Next, the soil has to be broken up. The earth needs to be plowed, fertilized, churned in with the soil, and in orderly rows, tilled and prepared for the seed. Then the seeds must be carefully planted and covered. But still no harvest. Perhaps a fence needs to be built to protect the plants from animals that might devour them. And always the seedlings must be carefully watered, nurtured, and fed over the long growing season.
So it's not an overnight process, is it? And I don't like that. and that's truly walking in faith, and that's reaping in a true sowing. And it goes further into saying there are sometimes setbacks. Bad weather, blight, floods, and insects that can jeopardize the harvest. But if all the hard work is done faithfully, that means not understanding what the consequences are going to bring, but being faithful and obedient in Christ alone and with perseverance, meaning we're going to get through this. And if God provides good seed and favorable weather, finally a glorious harvest is the result. So, I don't know what season you all are in right now, of those of you that are tuning in, but when it comes to God, you don't know what tomorrow is going to be. And even in your walk of life, in your path of life that you think you have it all together, you don't know what tomorrow is going to be. So, coming close to Christmas, this time of year is super special to me, and it's me and my husband's first Christmas, and I thought selfishly when I was laid off that, oh my gosh, this can't be my husband's Christmas. And I don't know how many of you are stressed out right now for the holidays, like honestly, about buying Christmas. Like, for your family, and oh my gosh, we have to decorate the tree, and oh my gosh, I just have so much to do for the last year's quarter, and I was once living in a year that, you know, December was the close of the year, the calendar year, so it would be the close of my fiscal, and it would be the close to get permission set, and we think of what the world has turned this season that we're embarking in into, and it's not supposed to be like that. It's not. And that's also, again, we're walking in faith. Huh. Because we should be walking in faith with others in community. It's not about the presence that we're giving, but it's the time that we're giving to others. And even though we're in a situation where we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and I don't know what situation you're in, we give thanks for having food,
yes,
clothing, shelter, love, joy, peace,
amen,
clarity, God, eternity, today, this moment, this magical, magical moment. And I think we so much take for granted of what the fruits of the Spirit can bring. I really do. So we have about 10 minutes left. And, you know, in these last 10 minutes, what would you like to talk about, my love? What's on your heart?
I'm not one to, you know, basically where I'm at with my walk in with Christianity is, you know, over the past, like, 3 years, I want to say, and I did this, like, unknowingly, so I was basically under the impression that I had to do, you know, X, Y, and Z to, you know, get, you know, the things of God, and, you know, I had lunch with somebody that I, you know, like to consider a mentor, and he, you know, we were just talking about some things, and, you know, he kind of opened up my eyes to, you know, I realized, like, we just have to love God and make ourselves available because, you know, he gave his one and only son to die for our sins so that we can spend eternity with him. So, I mean, what more could we ask for? So, basically what I realized is, you know, I'm here to, you know, bring glory to God in any way, shape, or form. I mean, at this point in time, I mean, I don't see myself as, like, you know, I'm not here to preach or anything like that. I'm just here to share what, you know, God's brought me through. And, you know, I made it out alive, and I just want to give glory to God. So,
what state of mind are you in today? Despite the circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, despite the circumstances, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little, it's a little nerve-wracking not knowing what, you know, next week holds or whatever, but at the same time, it's exciting because God's clearly up to something, so, you know, with the creator of the universe, you know, on your side, at your side, what can go wrong? You know? It's positive.
Absolutely. You know, so whatever you're going through today, and if you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, just be thankful for the moment that you have. I mean, honestly, there's every single person out there, and I say this originally in being, because we're in such a new society as a culture, you know, through Facebook and through YouTube and through work and the American dream and climbing up the ladder, that so often our sights get focused so much on the works of our own hands and what we've done and what we have sown into our own personal gratification and our own glory. That it's so important to go back into scripture and to realize, like, nothing that we should do should be in vain. And it shouldn't be our will, it should be God's will. And last week when, you know, we were going in the midst of, you know, when I was in the middle of my layoff or whatever, I picked up the phone to unemployment, and I thought to myself, for a second, you know, here came the bulimia, and then all of a sudden I get on the phone, and here's the sense of pride. And it's two big things in my life that I have to pride is something as far as work ethic that it has to pass down, because it's not out of my own work. Because God has given you all of your skills and abilities. I didn't create my flesh. I didn't create my body. I didn't create my intellect. I, of course, now have learned to tap into it with God, asking God to direct my path, give thanks to what He has blessed me with. But I am simply a shell and a vessel to show another person today what Jesus is like. And when I take a step back, or if you take a step back, and realize that Christianity and kindness in Christ, it has been a message that has been carried out for thousands of years. And it all started in talking and sharing the message of the good news, but also, most importantly, behind talking about it is taking up the cross daily, and walking and showing others through action of what Jesus Christ is like. And when I thought about it on the phone with unemployment last week, it really dawned on me, because I don't have a family and I do not have, you know, anybody besides me and my husband, really, that I have the necessity to pay for. And it just dawned on me that other people have it so much worse. And that pulled me out of my retrospective of what's happening in my own backyard. To get more step back is to put a global emphasis on what is taking place throughout the country. And how much brutality people are getting killed for walking in their faith, for having faith. Raped, molested, beaten. Some of them are being, you know, just brutally tortured. And to think that I was on the phone last week and having a temper tantrum for getting laid off. And think of the situation that you're in. You do it driving in traffic all the time. I mean, I make fun of them, but honestly, we think about it, of what we're getting stressed out about. And
nothing compared to something.
And how many times do we make the situation 1,000 times worse? What happened to you last week when you were driving?
I probably got really upset.
No, what? I mean, what happened? You got a ticket?
Oh, yeah, I got a speeding ticket.
Because we're all in such a hurry to get somewhere. We're all in a hurry to make, you know, such a worldly difference. But come back to the context of what we were actually here to do. And we are here to walk in the world, like, in favor of the world. In order to do that, we need to let go of all worldly ways. And that also includes walking in faith. And it's something that I must be honest, and me and my husband talk about it all the time. We both are... we can't sit still. Like, we are not sit at still home bodies. I mean, we like nighttime, but we can't even make it through a movie without saying you want to go to Walmart or, like, walk around at the Dollar Tree. And I always have this prejudice that Christians were boring. I mean, I don't know how many of you thought, like, oh my gosh, these people are going to judge. I can't even find seconds. I have a 40-minute warning. Now I'm just talking tangibly. But if you're truly walking in faith and in favor of the Lord, one way or another, you'll be bored. And for two, I promise you that you will go to bed every night feeling rest, feeling joy in the midst of all these, because you know where your identity is. And you know that with God, one, all things are possible, but two, with discipleship, and looking at who your surroundings are, and get connected with us if you don't have anybody to talk to. Get connected to, you know, your pastor. Get connected, because we all need each other.
Absolutely.
Especially at this time of season, we talk about seasonal depression. I say all of it is, you know, truly the enemy. Stay together in unity and come together in faith. And just ask God for wisdom and for insight. And know that you're not alone. So we're going to close out that, Lord, you know, you want to close out?
Yeah, I'll close out.
You close out.
Father God, we just come to you through your Son Jesus, and God, we just pray over everybody watching. We just pray that whatever season that they're in, we just ask that you just guide them through it, show them your love, Father. We just pray a mighty blessing of peace, joy, comfort, and your love in your lives. Through Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And for anybody that's tuning in right now that is confused, they're lonely, isolated, going through a hard season, going through a good season, you can always reach out to Dustin and I. My name is John Miller on Facebook. Dustin Miller.